We're live. We did it. Welcome to the Comedy Confession Booth.
Great to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. Emma Dahlenberg. Did I say your last name right?
Yeah, it's good.
Nice.
Good.
Okay, great. I was like, it could be Dahlenberg.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know. Maybe it is Dahlenberg. My family's wrong. I don't know. Like, who's the sec?
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah. Amazing. Well, welcome to the booth. We're very happy to have you. I didn't really explain beforehand. I was like, just come to our podcast.
I'm ready. I'm ready for anything. Let me know. What
I
is
love
it?
That.
What
I doing? Wish I had like truth or dare questions to just like pull out and be like, that's what we're doing. Yeah. But it's not what we're doing, sadly. Yeah. Instead, I'm going to get to know you. And yeah. So you're in town. You're visiting from the state.
I am. Yeah. I'm based in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Nice. Mm-hmm. How did you end up coming over to Europe?
I lived in Germany for like 7 months of 2021 or 2022. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, like I was doing a bunch of stand up and I made like connections and felt like I could come back to Europe and do some shows. And then 4 shows turned into like a 15 show tour. Like,
nice.
Just by, like, you know, word of mouth connections and people telling me to hit up other people. And now I'm at the very end of it. Kind of crazy. This is like one more show left in Lisbon after I leave Barcelona.
Shit. And how's the experience been so far?
It's been so cool. I mean, it's like, it's been like, like, it's wild to like, honestly, think about the whole thing. Like, lots of ups and downs, mm-hmm. I would say.
The flights up and down. Yeah, I'm sorry. That was quite a literal. Terrible
Really, not many flights, though, I would say, through the whole.
Really?
Been doing a lot of buses and trains. We're on a budget, you know. It's like a.
Nice.
I'd say I'm like a working class touring artist, you know.
Where I
it's
love
like,
it.
It's not luxury. It's
not. You're just like on the Flixbus. Like,
yeah.
I love Flixbus, though. It's great.
I really don't mind. I've taken like 3 or 4 overnight Flixbuses since I've been here and.
Saves you a hotel room?
Yeah. It's like. You know, you get to sleep on it and then you're asleep for a very long bus ride. It kind of rules. I don't mind. I sleep well on buses.
That's nice. That's nice. Honestly, yeah. Like, I remember like being a kid and I always fell asleep in the backseat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like that.
Yeah. 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 It's like, it is like being driven around like by like parents or like your friend's parents that you don't know. like somebody who doesn't even speak the same language as you, who's like mad at you for like putting your backpack in the wrong compartment of the bus.
Yeah. Did you do that?
I did. I almost left without I'm so like, I can't believe I've like made it to where I'm at in this like tour without something majorly going wrong. I'm always thinking about something, you know, so I don't pay attention. That's my issue.
Yeah. I mean,
ADHD.
I like.
Thoughtful.
I'm just too thoughtful. Yeah. Too thoughtful for my own good. I lose my keys and shit. Like, all that. I lost my keys to the clubhouse, and that's made scheduling podcasts really fun. But I borrowed keys for today, so we made it work. But yeah, that's great that nothing went wrong. Didn't lose your passport.
There was one, the passport issue between. I like. Prague was like one of the only cities where I didn't know anybody in the city, so I was staying at a. I was
did you
at
meet
a
people
hostel.
Though? You met like Belinda and like. Or
I did
not
you? Meet Belinda.
She just kind of lives here. She's like a half Barcelona, half Prague.
Mm.
More Prague now.
Prague rules. Like the comedy scene there is super fun. There's kind of like a lot of people. Like hung out with a few folks out there until. Real late hours. It was a good
Prague
Saturday.
Is a party city.
Yeah, they have like these like cave bars. Like, have you been like where like it's you walk in and it at first it just looks like a shit like dive bar, like it's just like there's only like 10 seats, but then you keep walking and there's like another bar behind it, and then there's like 2 bars behind it, and then you go downstairs and there's like 3. It's like bar Matrix or Inception or something.
That's cool. Yeah, I haven't. The last time I was in Prague was years ago, and I didn't go for comedy, so I don't know, like, the hangs.
Yeah.
But there is a – I went in college to Prague, so I was, like, when I was studying abroad, I was, like, let's go. Like, I was one of those girls with, like, a short skirt and, like, you know, like, 15-degree Fahrenheit weather.
Yeah. I'm from Minnesota. We all did that. Like the I'd rather have hypothermia than look bad, you know?
That's exactly. It's like I gotta look hot. And then I remember going around the club being like, does anyone have Molly? Like just asking random men if they had Molly.
Oh my god.
But yeah, I only picked hot men, so like worst case scenario I'd make out in the bathroom, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And like what's wrong with that, you know? It's like
so that's Prague for me, but it's a cool city. It's a cool city. Mm-hmm. So you like the comedy scene there?
Yeah, it was super fun. But then like when I was like leaving, like I left Prague and went to Vienna, and I was like staying like with a friend and doing a show there, and in when I got there, like I went to like go buy cigarettes, and they're
good for you.
They're so good. Well, in this case, I'm so happy that because I'm trying to decrease now. Now I'm hitting the point where I'm like, okay, I have to go back to the U.S. soon, which means I have to quit when I get back to the U.S. So I'm trying to level out. But I'm so thankful that I started smoking again when I was in Europe, because I went to the nicotine store to buy tobacco, and the lady asked to see my passport, which like I found kind of annoying because I was like, I don't look like I'm 18, like, but I pulled it out and the hostel gave me somebody else's passport. So I had like a different person's passport in Vienna, and I was flying to Istanbul the next day.
Holy
and I was just like,
shit.
No. Where I was like, cause like Istanbul was like one of my like biggest like weeks of like shows and stuff. And I was like, no, fuck it. Like I can't. But they sent somebody from like the hostel via Flixbus like that day to switch them out. Cause I bet they were like, oh, we can't let this other person find out that we gave their passport to a random.
Oh my god.
Like big fuck up, dude. That's a big fuck up.
That's
I'm not gonna
bad.
Name drop them because that feels like not fair, but like yeah, big fuck up.
Yeah, okay. Always check your passport when they give it back to you at the hostel.
Which is like I'm like, yeah, I probably should have looked, yeah, but why would like, I think that? Why would I think they gave me the wrong one?
That's weird. I mean, because don't they just like take it for a second, make a copy and give it back?
They like it was such a stupid system. Like they were like, they took your passport. You could choose to give them your passport or 20 euros in exchange for like the key for like the hostel, which I'm
got
like,
it.
I was like, I'm not going to give you 20 euros, but I'll give you my whole identity. You know, like,
yeah, I was like, you made the wrong choice there, girl. Like, no.
Like on me, honestly, it was like, you know, I'd say 20% on me, 80% on the employee who didn't read the name.
Yeah. I mean, it's still more on them for sure. But yeah. I would just give them 20 years. I'd be like, you're not fucking taking my passport. You're like, no.
Yeah, I don't know. I was coming from Switzerland, so that's why I didn't have any euros. I was still a chef.
That makes sense. And honestly, the other person's passport that you got, they also made that decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're not the only one.
Yeah. And it was the crazy, honestly, it's like, and it wasn't even fully. I get because the passport they gave me, it was another American girl named Emma. We're just like,
oh, okay.
How does that happen? You know, like that there's two American Emmas in this hostel. Like,
that is weird.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like kind of an honest mistake, but not really.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I still put them at fault. Like, that's their fault.
I'd say, yeah, 70-30, you know, blame. At 70-30.
You're just going to keep going on.
I know. Or I'm just like, all right, well, it was kind of, I mean, but no. 70-30, I'd say, overall.
Crazy. And is this like your first, because you lived in Germany, is this like your first time like coming back and doing like a Euro tour?
Yeah. It's it was my first time like being back in Europe since living in Germany. And I mean, like living in Germany, like ended very tragically. It was like I literally got deported.
You talk about it in your stand-up. Yeah, I was gonna say you got deported, which is insane.
Oh my god, it's like I can't reveal like any of my. Well, I could talk, but I'm like my. I'm working on like this hour about like where that's like kind of a central story of it, you know, mm-hmm. of like the whole experience of. Still working on it, you know, but like it was a hard exit for sure, like a really difficult way to leave a place. Like I had like a whole like group of like friends, and like I had like a boyfriend and like a community. I had like
Fuck.
1 week to leave. Like I knew I had 1 week, and so like honestly, like just coming back to Germany and like seeing all those people again has been like so crazy.
Yeah,
it's so good.
That's nice. That's was it hard to come back to Europe after like legally? Like I'm just curious because my biggest fear is getting deported.
I say this online. I have only taken trains and buses in and out of Germany. I did not fly because I was like really not sure, and I was like not willing to. But you know, my face has been on posters in like 5 cities in Germany, and nothing has happened. So
good.
But they didn't find me. for 3 or 4 months the last time I was there because they couldn't figure out where I was. So I'm like, I just don't think Germany's.
And you said you were like posting on Instagram being like, I'm here. Like, they just gotta follow social media. It's kind of dumb.
Literally, when they were actively like looking, like to be like, when my visa was gone and they were trying to figure out where I was, like, I was every single day posting where I was going to be. And they couldn't. So I'm like, I think I'll be safe to be in Germany for like 2 weeks. Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
But I think I'm fine because I left when they told me to leave. So there was nothing legal. Like, they were just like, because it was like a big fuck up with like my program and everything. Like,
yeah.
That I don't think I was actually put at fault for not having, because it was more my program's fault for me not having a visa and stuff. Yeah. So.
And also their fault for giving you like a weird housing situation.
Yeah. They, I went insane. Like, it's like, I feel like I can't be. You know, I do take responsibility for, like, a good portion of that. But, like, also, like, so much of it was anybody would have gone crazy under those
circumstances. I mean, when I first moved here, I lived with 2 host families. Like, they were like, okay, you're going to live with 1 host family first and then another one. And the first one was so odd. Like, they weren't, like, dangerous odd, but they wanted me there because they had a 3-year-old son that they wanted to learn English. And I was like, well, I'm not here to teach him. And like, I don't want to babysit. Like, that's not the point. And then they also, like, the dad, like, shat on teachers and I was teaching English. He was like, yeah, teachers have it so easy. Like, you're done with work by like 4. And like, I was like, what are you talking about? I'm babysitting 20 kids at a time. Like, you pay, so you also have a nanny. Like, you have it easy, sir. Like,
oh, it's always those people who say shit like that. People who have, like, yeah, that makes sense. Damn.
So, yeah. And then they yelled at me for going out too much at the end. They were like, you need to be careful with your next host family because you go out too much. And I was like, I'm 22 in Barcelona. Of course I go out too much. Like, yeah. Host families are just weird.
It's such like a, because it's such like a difficult thing, because, like, you know, people, like, people's homes are people's, like, homes. Like, that's, like, the place where it's, like, you know, it's, like, kind of, like, sacred to people. And, like, you really, I mean, to invite someone into your home, it's placing a lot of trust in them. And then when you're, like, a, like, an exchange student or, like, being placed in somebody else's home, it's also, like, a super vulnerable position because you're just, like, placed in their world and expected to be able to adapt exactly to how they live. And if you don't have a host family that's, like, understanding and, like, adaptable of it, like, it's...
It's not great. My second host family was amazing. They were also loaded. It was awesome.
better situation than my situation with like a loaded rich old man, maybe.
Exactly. That is so odd. Like, that is just like an old dude. Like, anyway, I don't want to give away your comedy too much, but
I feel like this is probably so confusing to like somebody who's listening. Who's just like, there was, yeah, no details. I had to live. My host family in Germany was not a host family. It was a single old man. And he lived in a mansion and he looked like a vampire. And I tried my best to make it work, but it didn't. So
yeah.
And then I went crazy and was homeless. So whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. It's just like classic trajectory of, that's wild though. And how long ago was that?
Only a year ago, which when I got sent back, or I got, I moved back to the US basically like right before Christmas of last year.
2022?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it was 2022 then. Yeah. Yeah. 2022 Christmas.
Damn. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. So this is like coming back.
Yeah. It happened pretty quick. Like, where I feel pretty.
It's quicker. Quicker than I was saying faster and quicker at the same time. Quicker than I thought.
Yeah. I just had like a real, like, you know, deep need to like go. Be like, okay, that wasn't like all a dream, right? Like, I lived in Germany and it was like really good in many ways. Like, it was really fun for a while, and I was definitely like feeling, I feel like almost like it was like a PTSD anxiety before coming back, because it was just like, what if the same thing happens again? What if the same thing happens? But I'm like, that's not possible. Yeah. I'm not in a shitty U.S. government ran cultural exchange program. I'm touring as a stand-up comedian. Like, that's so much better.
It's so much better. So much, you have so much agency over yourself.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing comedy?
About like 5 years.
Nice. How'd you get into it?
I mean, like, I always like loved stand-up when I was a kid and stuff, and like I would listen to on like Pandora, like, radio. Did you use Pandora radio before?
Like, it was like that free radio where you can like kind of control what's happening but not really.
you get to choose a station and you can shuffle like a station, but yeah, you can't choose the exact.
And you can be like, it's Vampire Weekend station. Like,
but I would always listen to stand up stations. So I'd listen to like, well, R.I.P. Louis C.K. radio.
R.I.P. You know, he came here.
Oh, really? To Comedy Clubhouse?
Yeah.
No fucking way.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be so cool. Yeah. I don't support what he did, but yeah, I still enjoy the comedy of it.
It was weird. Like, he, so, you know, Michelle Wolf lives here. So she was like, yeah, Louis C.K. is coming to town. Like, and he did his special somewhere and then came in and did like a half hour here with Michelle. And it was like the coolest show we've ever had. And I was supposed to be on that show. I was on the show. And they were like, oh, we might have to bump like basically everyone because Louis is coming. And I was like, I don't want to be bumped for Louis. Like, he fucking masturbated in front of women. Like, I don't support that shit. And so I got like really like the entire day I was just anxious because I was like, am I going to meet him? Am I not? Like, is he coming? Is he not? Like, right? Like all this shit. And then I ended up, he was in the green room and I just walked in and was like, hey, everyone. And I was like, I know who you are. And he was like, and who are you? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm Jamie. Hi. And then I like just sat down and talked to him for a bit. Uh-huh. And it was just like normal.
What was it like? Was he nice?
He was pretty nice. Yeah. I mean, I think he's very aware of his reputation. So he's not going to like, also there was a room full of people. So I was like, yeah, he's not going to like whip out his dick in front of me, you know?
but
it was fun because basically Michelle and Louis each did a half hour, like 20 minutes to half hour at the start, at the first half of the show, and then they were like, okay, just everyone else, you're gonna do five later, the audience is in a great mood, like let's just keep it rolling. And so then they opened for us, really, is what happened. It is
Louis, I could be like, and Michelle Wolf opened for me.
Exactly. That's what I put on my Edinburgh posters. Like, but yeah, I did a joke where I was like, all day, I was like, is he coming? Is he not coming? Is he coming? Is he not coming? Is he coming? Is he coming? Is he coming? Which is what most women think, you know.
Yeah. Did you work on that one ahead of time?
Yeah, I did a little. I was like, I gotta say it. And then I was too excited to say it that I have a recording of it and my voice just goes like, is he coming? Like,
oh, no.
I'm so excited.
Play that for him. He's like, yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I like it.
Can't do a Louis C.K.
voice. Yeah. But yeah, he was great.
He's like, I mean, just I loved his stand-up so much. I mean, I still do. Like, I still listen to Kanye, you know, but it's like, he says terrible things. I don't know. It's like, famous people are crazy. Yeah. I don't think they should be taken as moral like leaders, you know, but like they make pretty good music and jokes, you know.
Yeah. Like, no, it's a good point. I mean, it's like the whole Woody Allen thing. Yeah. Like, my mom's like, I won't watch any Woody Allen movies. Then my dad's like, but his movies are amazing, you know. Yeah. As like a New York Jew, it's like, how do you not watch Woody Allen?
And it's so interesting. Yeah, that's but I would listen to like Louis C.K., Pandora Radio, and Tom Segura, Hannibal Buress. And,
nice.
Weird. I hate that. Like, when I was a kid, I didn't even like know any like women stand-up comedians. Mm. It wasn't until I was like reached an age where I was like, oh, I should maybe try to find inspiration that's like more similar to me. You know, it's like, that's a whole other tangent. I don't know why it went off.
I like this tangent, though. It's a good tangent because it's like, I think you're right in that. Almost everyone who I've talked to now, I've talked to like, I'd say this is like maybe the 10th or 11th, whatever. And almost everyone names like Louis C.K. Everyone's talking about these male comedians and then makes an effort to be like, I should name some women. And it's like, that's how like we grew up in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't like hand fed female comedians. Like, if you wanted a female comedian, they existed, but you had to like seek it out.
And I feel like it's like one of the reasons why I was like, because like how I actually got into stand up was like, the guy that I was dating when I was like 19, he decided to go do an open mic, and I didn't know. I was like living in Minneapolis, and I didn't know that you could do open mics in Minneapolis. I didn't know that there was like a stand up scene that you could get. I guess I didn't understand how. I thought you had to be in New York or LA or Chicago or something.
Yeah.
So he went to go do the mic, and I hate saying it like that. That I went, and I was like, oh, I could. I could do this. Like, he's doing, and it's like, I love stand-up my whole life. It was not because I was like copying him, you know. I just didn't know there was a way in, and he showed me the way in. We in he quit and I kept going, and I think it was he couldn't. Yeah. Anyways,
because yeah, men aren't funny.
No. Like women are so much funnier. So much funnier. But like I think it's interesting that, because I didn't really have any like representation of like women doing stand up or like queer people doing stand up. Like they were there, but I just wasn't watching it or seeing it. And I mean, thank God, a straight man was like, I'm gonna do stand up that I was dating, you know, because like that was my way in. Because like I don't know if I would have ever found it on my own, because I just didn't really see myself as someone who could do it until it was like, oh, I can just put my name on a list.
Yeah. It takes, there's a certain level of like white male confidence that it takes to start doing stand up.
Yeah, to like seek it out and be like, I'm gonna go do this thing, you know, rather than just. I feel like so many women I know who do stand up also had a similar experience of just happening to be there and just being like, well, I guess y'all try. Why not? And then they end up being like the funniest people ever. Because I do think women have like an interesting communication style that is unique and stands out.
I agree. We're just also better communicators.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think we think very deeply about things, like overthink. I don't know.
Are you much of an overthinker?
Just checking. Okay.
Yeah. No, you're, I'll tell you.
There was a moment where you looked and I was just like,
have like good cleavage. And sometimes, and like, also I'm short. So like my eye level is like kind of here. Yeah, and I'm like, okay.
Especially for, if we stand up, it's just like, hi.
Yeah. I love hugging my tall friends. I feel so like, just like enveloped in their breast. It's really nice.
I love in the winter. I wear like big fur coats. It's like it's cozy, and I feel like a large bear.
I love that.
I love to hug people when I'm wearing a fur coat, because they're just like snuggled into fur, and I really do feel like a mama bear with my babies in my breasts.
That sounds good. My breasts. Here, my children.
Feed, suckled. Feed.
I love that. Yeah, it's fun. I mean, yeah, being short, you just kind of always a little baby, and then it's kind of fun. But being tall is good. I've always wanted to be tall.
I've always wondered what it would be like to be short. I wish we could just like switch one day.
It'd be nice. I wish to like Freaky Friday with some friends.
Do you think it's happening? Like the whole people talk about like significant body modifications coming in the future. That'd be kind of cool to be able to just be like, I want to be 5 foot for a year.
Oh,
see what happens.
Interesting.
Shrink me. Put me in a shrink machine where they just like, where it's like Adobe, you know, where you just like, you know, like shift.
Is it going to make you like weirdly proportionate though? Or you're like
I would only
elf?
Do if it made me like proportionate.
Yeah.
Make me look better, you know, make me smile, and then just like, carve some shit out, you know, like that'd be cool.
I like that. I like the idea of like really, because there's that book. Oh my God. I might be a little older. There was that book like The Pretties and the Uglies. There was like this series where they did like body mods, where you all had to like look a certain way, and then if they couldn't modify, like only certain people had the gene that you could modify or something, so then the Uglies were like sent out to another society to just go be ugly together.
Damn, well that would kind of rule, because then like if you were put in the ugly category, you would just go be with a bunch of uglies, and then you'd be like, yeah, I'm normal.
Yeah. And maybe you'd be the hottest one there, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, I might be an ugly, but I'm the hottest ugly.
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder as well, so it's just like ugly subjective, but you know, I guess it's a genetic
have
gene.
You seen that Twilight Zone episode?
Mm-mm.
Do you watch Twilight Zone, or have you?
I think I've seen a few. Yeah. It's in black and white, right?
Yeah. It's like really old. I used to watch all the time with my mom. And there's an episode called Beauty and the Eye of the Beholder, where it's like that you see you're following this woman who like looks beautiful, right? And then they like take her mask off and all the doctors like look like pigs. And that's what you're supposed to look like. And they show her, they're like, we tried, but we couldn't fix you. And she's beautiful. And they're all ugly. And she's like, oh, my God, I'm hideous. And it's like.
That's interesting.
It's a good episode. I have the beholder.
Interesting.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Good stuff. Anyway, back to you doing comedy. Sorry, there's a lot of tangents in this now. Now that it's more. So the way this started was like I was writing articles about people. So it used to be very like question, answer.
Uh-huh.
Now it's like more of a pod video thing.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so what have you like been writing about lately or performing? Like, what kind of jokes do you, are you working on?
Oh, my most recent inspiration is arguing that being bisexual is real. Like, because it's like, even though it's like, of course it's real. Like, yeah. I feel like I weirdly feel more insecure when I am like attracted to and like dating a man than I do a woman, because it's like, I do really like being a part of the queer community. It's like, it feels very like home for me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's like a thing where, like, you know, when you're like in the queer community, if you start like if you like break up with like a woman and then you end up dating like a man, it's like people are like you're lying, you know. Yeah. You're not a part of this anymore. And it's like, no, I'm not. That's a, it's like, that's one of the sexualities. Like, I am representing one of the, and I feel like it's funny to me to write jokes where I'm like angry but not actually angry, you know, where I'm coming at something with like a, and I tell you what, it's this too. And that's one that has me fired up right now, because I kind of thought I was gay again, and then I was like, no, and then I was like, you know, I'm like into some guy again, and I'm just like, what's going on with me, man? But it's like, I'm like, oh wait, yeah, no, this is a part of being queer. Like, it's like a thing. So
yeah, it's confusing. It's also like, I feel, as someone who, I'm like slightly bisexual, like a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I feel like all women must be bisexual. And but then there's the idea, like, there's a common stereotype that like all women are bisexual and men are either straight or gay. Like, men can't be,
yeah,
bi. And it's like, that's not true.
Definitely. I'm like, yeah, because I'm fighting for the bisexual men too. You know, yeah. I'm just like, they're like, bisexual dudes rule. I love bisexual men. Oh my God. Because they like, you know, yeah, they're awesome.
They're the best, because they're just like way more free with their sexuality.
Yeah,
like a dude who is at least even experimented, I'm like, you're cool, because you at least are like open. Like, I hate a guy that's like, oh, like, I'm not gay. I'm like, get over like, yourself.
Grow up. Like, yeah, you are. there was a guy in Paris, I don't remember his name, he had a funny joke. He was like, yeah, like, I say that I'm heteroflexible, which just means I want to get laid by bitches, you know? I'm like, fuck you, you're the problem, but like, also really funny, really funny.
Yeah, that's a good joke.
I guess I do feel like I understand why, like, people who are like in the queer community and get like real like marginalized and like hated on, mm-hmm, like, are like, it's not fair for you to like take up space when it's not even like real. So it's like, I understand why, like, when there's people who are like, I'm bisexual, but if like, but it's like, but like, I thought, like, you know, the whole thing with like the queer community is like, embrace everybody and accept all who are.
What do you think of demisexual?
What does that mean?
It means you're attracted to someone for only based on their brain, only based on their intelligence, kind of.
See, the intelligence part is like, ugh, you know, where it's just like, so, okay, yeah, like, oh, I like smart people. Or like, well, wait, what if I'm like demisexual, but I'm just like, oh, dude, we're not doing this unless you're a fucking idiot. Like, unless you're so dumb.
I only like the stupidest. IQ under 60, bitch.
Yeah, like, so, like, oh, like, so dumb that it's almost medical, dude. That's how dumb I was.
Oh my God.
Well, sometimes I think that's maybe, because like, isn't that just being pansexual? Like, yeah, it's like an egg. Because that's kind of where I think I'm at, probably, you know, where it's like, I don't know. I don't think about like it in like a bisexuality. It's like, where it's like, I'm only attracted to men or women, even. It's like, I really liked non-binary folks, but it's, yeah, also like, I feel like, isn't everybody attracted to people's mind and like personality?
Yeah, that's what's weird to me. I'm like, aren't we all like, yeah, like, everyone finds like, there's some physicality, like, there's a physical nature for everyone, there has to be. But at the same time, it's like, just because I mean, and sometimes when I get to know someone, it's like, I'm way more attracted to them or less attracted to them based, yeah, on their personality. So, yeah, looks matter to a degree.
Maybe it is just like, Yeah, are there, like, because I can't lie and say that, like, I would be attracted to any person.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, there is, like,
any
physical...
gender, sure, but not uggos, you know?
Yeah, dude, you know, you have to at least be, like, you know, in my type, I guess. You know, like, so, demisexual, interesting. I've heard it called, there's, like, another word for it, like, when you're only attracted to smart people.
Oh, interesting.
So maybe demisexual is, like, the better way of saying that, where it's, like, there's, like, what is, it's, like, no, it can't be, is it sapiosexual? Yeah.
That makes sense, yeah.
And there's, like, sapiosexual conventions. Like, somebody in Minneapolis has, like, a bit about it. Like, there she was talking about, yeah, and, like, but, because that feels crazy to me, to be, like, I'm only attracted to, geniuses. Like, you're so dumb for that.
Yeah, it's so weird to me. It's just like, also, like, how insufferable, like, not only to be sapiosexual but to be the person they're attracted to. It's like, yeah. No one wants to be that smart.
For real. Like, but I guess maybe it's legitimate, because, like, yeah, nobody else is fucking with them because they're so annoying. So it's like, maybe that is their sexuality. They have to find.
Yeah, they have to find people that are only into them because they're so pretentious.
I guess, yeah, sapiosexuals, like, just go to Harvard, you know? Like,
go to Harvard, fuck each other.
Yeah.
Make little Harvard babies.
Is that what, like, Ivy League schools are? Maybe, yeah. You know, it's just bunch of sapiosexuals. That sounds so boring, man.
It really does. It's like, if you always surround yourself with, like, classically intelligent, like, there's also so many different types of intelligence that I'm like, I feel like sapiosexual or demisexual are probably only focusing on, like, traditional intelligence.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas, like, you could be really physically intelligent or, like, really, like, socially intelligent and stuff, you know, that's still a form of intelligence.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I feel like I've been, like, that's actually, like, been one of my, like, inspirations in writing too recently, because, like, sometimes I feel so fucking dumb, like, where I've just been trying to write about being like, maybe I am dumb, like, and maybe that's okay.
I don't think you're dumb.
But, like, where it's like trying to talk about how it's like, yeah, there's, like, different ways to, like, interact with the world, you know, like, you don't, that being dumb versus being an idiot is, like, kind of something I've been, like, using as, like, a writing thing.
I like that. What do you think is, like, the difference between being dumb and being an idiot?
I think being, like, dumb is, like, making decisions that have consequences, but, like, you have no idea that the consequences are there. Like, so it's just, like, if you're, like, you know, it's like being blind and stepping into a busy road, you know, where it's, like, not your fault, you know, if you get hit by a car, because, like, you just really didn't see it coming. But being an idiot is, like, when you fully are aware of all consequences of a choice and you still make it, like, you still go forward with it, like,
yeah,
because it's, like, that's preventable. That's being an idiot. Like, you being dumb, it's like, it's not your fault. But being an idiot is, like, you can stop that from happening. I'm like, trying to use it as a framework to stop making mistakes that are that are in my control.
Yeah, like, am I being an idiot right now? Am I giving them my passport willingly?
Because it was, I mean, the whole passport situation is a good dumb versus idiot.
Yeah, like, moment. I don't know where that one falls.
Right? I'd say I was dumb for giving them my passport. I'd say the employee was an idiot for not checking the name.
Exactly. I would agree with that. I would agree with that based on your definition. Because that's not, like, if an institution often collects people's passports, and they are saying, you can trust us, that's not your fault.
Yeah.
So you were just dumb.
Yeah. Like, of course, like, it would have been smart to have checked my face and name before I put it in my bag and just leave to another country. Of course that would have been a better choice. But how could I have known that it was the wrong one? Like, I think it's, like, a good, like, it's, like, a good way to, like, decide whether you should, like, forgive yourself for an action too, you know, where it's like oh, I was just being dumb, I didn't know. But, like, if I am continually doing the same thing and it's resulting in, like, the same, you know, consequences, it's like, you're being an idiot, dude. You gotta get it together.
It's like, I mean, it's like, getting drunk and being hungover the next day, like, that's being an idiot, because you're like, I know I'm gonna get hungover, but I'm doing it anyway. And then you get there and you're like, I feel like shit, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, that's your own fault, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's also great. Do you get hungover? Because you're, how old are you?
I'm 24.
Yeah, yeah. So you're young. You probably don't get hungover.
I guess
as bad.
I've been drinking a lot since I've been here, and I've been okay.
It's a culture. Like, that's what you do.
I feel like I get less hungover. Well, it's because I think I'm drinking way more like wine and beer here. Like, mostly wine. I don't drink that much beer, but in the U.S., I'm always drinking hard liquor for some reason. So I think I'm gonna keep this up. The only drink wine.
Yeah.
I'm not an alcoholic if I only drink wine. It's That's basically true. Fruits.
That's true. The first time I tried to quit drinking when I was in New York, I was like, because I was bartending when I was in New York. So I was like teetering on alcoholism, you know, bartending. Did you ever bartend?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you have bartender vibes.
Yeah, nice. Thanks.
Yeah, in a good way. In a good
Thank
way.
You, I appreciate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, anytime. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to quit drinking except for wine. Like, wine's not really a drinking. And then I would just have four glasses of wine every day. It's like, yeah, I'm sober. Like, yeah, with my glass of wine.
That's been me, like, in Europe, dude, where I've just been like, dude, I'm like not even drinking alcohol while I'm here. While I'm like super fucked up on wine. I'm just like, I'm like, yeah, dude, I haven't had like hard liquor in like 2 months. Like, I'm like really so healthy.
I'm giving you shots tonight.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, we're doing a, because you're coming on Shitty Mic tonight, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to do an April Fool's show. Oh. I'm not going to tell you what the prank is.
I like pranks, so.
Okay, great. This will be fun. Yeah, I was like, we have four visiting comics on, so I'm just going to, like, do, like, I don't know. It's a really fun. It's really harmless and fun. Like, you'll enjoy it. It'll be a good time.
All right. All right. Okay.
By the time this airs, it'll have already happened. So, sorry, guys. If you didn't come, that's your fault. But yeah, I'll give everyone shots and stuff. It'll be fun.
April Fools. I forgot it was April Fools tonight.
Yeah. I know. I was like, Jordan didn't prank me at all. You showed up on time, like ready to go.
What if I gotta like whip something out like before the end of this? Yeah. Just like, I've been lying about everything this whole fuck.
Oh, fuck. I went over
by 6 minutes. The transcripts.
The transcript, yeah. It's okay. It's gonna
Go through and handwrite the
transcript. Honestly, I can just find the section if I need it and just like redo it. It's not the hugest deal. It's okay.
Cool.
But yeah, so you started comedy thanks to a white man. I'm assuming. I don't know. We didn't say white, but I shouldn't have assumed. But
we worked at Applebee's together. So it was a very white relationship. Not that it's all, there wasn't. No, actually, when I was working at Applebee's, all white people working. It wasn't
really
a white environment. Minnesota Applebee's employee staff.
That does. I feel like, is Minnesota diverse?
Minneapolis and St. Paul are. And I mean, in like the small towns, like, I mean, like, because I'm from a small town in Minnesota, and there was like a lot of Hmong people in my hometown. Because
what is that? Excuse my ignorance.
They like Hmong people come from Laos, which is like above Vietnam.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's I think I don't know if
that's so random.
I think being Hmong is kind of like being Jewish, where it's like both like religion and a culture. Mm-hmm. I hate how ignorant I am on the
ethno-religion is what we call it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Don't worry, people who aren't. I mean, the fact that you even know that is like beyond a lot of people. People are like, yeah, but if you're Jewish, like, you can just convert. And I'm like, no, but like ethnically, like, if I take a DNA test, like, it still says Jewish. Like,
God.
Yeah. What is it? Like, have you ever taken a DNA test?
No.
I'm always curious about people.
I know that I'm like German, like on my mom's side, but like my family's like, I keep making this as like a joke. Like my family's, care, like, he's kind of, you know, crazy, and they don't want to do 23andMe because like they don't care about their heritage. They don't want the government to have our DNA.
So I love that.
Don't let them know. You know?
That's fair. I mean, I did. My grandfather did it, and I didn't know. Which once he's done it, I'm like, I don't need to. Like, he's already got it all, and it said like 99.9% Ashkenazi Jew, right? Uh-huh. So it doesn't say anything like normal, like. White people, it'll just say like Germany, Ireland, like it'll give like a country in Europe. Mm-hmm. And then when people are like, Jews, like, you're from Europe, I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, my DNA literally is not tied to Europe. it's kind of weird. And he, but it also said like prone to baldness, and he's like, yeah, I'm bald. Like, I don't need a DNA test. Or it's like, tell me that.
For the info, you know.
Thanks, cool. So yeah, DNA tests are weird.
Super weird. Oh, okay, yeah, you asked if
Minnesota. I get off tangents.
Me too, dude. And I'm like, I feel like once I am at like 40 minutes into conversation, my brain's just starting to be like, bzz, bzz. Yeah, you know, yeah. Like everything we've talked about coming up. But yeah, like lots of so like Minnesota, like I mean, in the rural areas, super super white for sure, overwhelmingly. Yeah. Like just like white people. But Minneapolis and St. Paul are like really diverse cities. It's
that's cool. Pretty and you big grew up cities. In the city or like no, you said small town.
Yeah, Winona, Minnesota. Shout out. Anybody
to my peeps
listening.
Love that. And yeah. How did you like stay on comedy? Because like a lot of times, like we get in, most people have said something similar where they went to an open mic and they're like, oh, I could do that, and then they do it.
Yeah.
And like, but like, what kept you doing it?
I feel like, I mean, like I played like sports like my whole life, and like so like the timing.
What sports?
I played soccer, basketball, and softball.
Cool. And the trifecta.
Oh yeah. Holy three. That's where I'm like, I'm not straight.
Yeah, I'm like, if you played at least softball, like, I'm sorry, every single girl I know from high school that played softball is gay now. Like,
yeah. I'm like, I was like deeply in love with like my best friend on my basketball team, you know? Like, don't ever call me straight. Like, we're just gonna, oh man, but
man, I want that movie.
Honestly, that would be such a good movie. Like, if I've been trying to come up with like a pilot to write.
That's
because
it.
Like I want to just have something to submit to somebody. I don't know, and that would be an interesting one actually. Like,
yeah,
love story on a small town basketball team.
Yeah, in like Minnesota.
Damn.
And like
two tall ass bitches, because we were tall as hell, and it was like you and me versus the world.
I love that. I'm like kind of obsessed with like queer coming of age stories.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if you've seen like Love Victor, like Heartstopper, like
no.
Oh my god. And then Everything Sucks on Netflix, which has Sydney Sweeney.
I am obsessed with Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So it has Sydney Sweeney as queer, and it's like the best thing I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, I gotta make it. A note and watch that soon. I'm like, oh damn, okay. Yeah.
It wasn't renewed, which is like, I don't understand that.
Oh damn, dude.
Yeah,
they were like, we need to keep her image straight for the man.
So rude. That's so rude. Sydney, be gay.
Come on, Sydney. Come on, please. Oh man, yeah, that would be a good pilot.
Yeah,
gay basketball team, because I think that there's something a little bit also with like growing up like as like an athlete and being like kind of queer, you like, even though it's like a stereotype for like women's sports to have like queer people, like it's still like a really, because I feel like kids in drama club were so open about just like being gay, and I remember just being so jealous of drama club kids, because I was like, you guys are so free, and like I was like so closeted like in like playing sports in high school, where it's like we were all gay but none of us would say it, and it's just like, it's like an interesting like community, because it's still very, you know, straight. Like it's like very involved with like you know, sports families are super like Midwestern stereotypes of like don't get distracted by your teammate best friend's tits while you're out there. Just play the game. We need you to go on team one. Like, you know, like that.
It's like write impossible.
That dialogue.
That would be hilarious. Wait, this is your pilot.
Oh my god, this is awesome. Okay, I'm gonna work on this on my bus trip to Lisbon, because I booked my flight wrong.
The one flight just like totally fucked. That's amazing. Yeah, I love that though. Wait, so you did sports, and how does that relate to you doing comedy?
Oh yeah, like I played basketball I fucked my knee up really bad in high school, like my junior year of high school, like blew my knee out.
Shit.
And like for since then I couldn't play the same level, but like I was still able to like go to a like a D3 team, because I was like, I'm gonna get better and I'll move up, and but I never got better. And then I had to get another knee surgery after my freshman year, and it was like, it was real tough on me, like because it was so much of like my identity, like my life, like it was sports, and I like really did love it, but So it was like there was like a year between ending sports and finding stand up. And I mean, like what I did with my time post sports was like, you know, just party and do drugs. I was just like an alcoholic, just getting fucked up. Like it was really, I mean, it was like freshman, sophomore year of college. So it was like fine. But like, yeah. I think like, you know, I was definitely trying to cope with a loss with like something not good. And then, you know, stand up is just like an extension where it's like you can still be like a party fuck up. You can be like a fuck up, but but you still get to work on something. So I feel like stand up started kind of just like it's like a place to go to kind of party and hang and then try this thing. But then it slowly started to be like, oh, this is like sports to me, where I was just like, I'm showing up like trying to get better at something, and like where it's like, you know, open mics are my practices and then shows are my games. And I was just oh, this is like what I was doing before, but from like a more like artistic perspective, which I've like also been like a artistic person my whole life, you know, where like I used to like paint a lot, and I felt like I could do like stand-up has like been like I enjoy it more than I ever even enjoyed playing sports, because it's like it's everything in one for me.
You got the competition, you got the winning, losing, bombing, crushing, stand-up's a sport.
It is a sport. I think it's super healthy to look at stand-up as like a sport, rather than like, I think people get real stressed out by stand-up when it's not going well. If you're looking at it from like a, I don't know, like where you like need it for your like self-worth kind of perspective, when it's like, no, dude, so you're like, it's like your fucking after-school activity, you know? Yeah. Like it's like, if you do bad, then you just like, you're working there to get better. Like it's always just to get better. And I feel like it's like,
yeah, and no one goes like 100% in a season. Like you're not gonna always crush, like you're gonna, like sports terms. I did a lot of theater as a kid, and the
so you're an opposite.
I just like totally a theater kid, like 100%. And even though I don't know if you felt this in sports, but like I still always felt like a bit of an outcast, like in theater. Even I was like, I had friends, but like in the did like a youth theater program outside of school, and there it was still like really clicky, and I was like, I'm still not in like the popular kids of this. Like I would be like, me and my two friends would just like hang out and be weird in the corner, you know. I don't know, but so theater like was for me, but also wasn't. But we had this one theater director who, he was the best, and he would always do sports analogies, and we would all just sit there like, what is he talking about?
Like, sure.
Like, he literally would say, like, rehearsals are the practices, and then the show is the game. And we were like, can you just say the show is a show and rehearsals are rehearsals?
Yeah. I guess like, that's funny. Like, because that's exactly how I would view it if I was in theater. But, like, I would never use that metaphor on theater kids. But, yeah to each their own, you know? Yeah.
Like, he was just, like a 40-year-old dad. Like, and he was a theater kid, but he also loved baseball. So I was like.
Right. He was like, yeah, trying to find, you know, I love a metaphor though. You know? So like, good on him. For
love a metaphor. Making it clear to only him. Like, the rest of us, like, every guy is gay. They're like, what's a sport? Like,
What's your game? You know, what's your game? It's a show, okay? Don't understand.
Always the same. Always, yeah. I'm big into baseball now though, so.
Do they have baseball out here?
No.
Oh, interesting.
It's annoying. But the Mets, my team, which is 0-3 right now. Let's go. Worst we've ever played at the start of a season.
Damn.
0-3.
I think I went to a Mets game when I was in New York.
Yeah?
Are they in Queens?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to a Mets game.
Really fun stadium.
Yeah, super duper fun.
Yeah. When did you go?
Last August.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, they were shit then, but.
Yeah, I think they lost by a lot.
Probably. I don't even remember who they were. We were really bad last year.
I like played, yeah, like even I played sports all my life, but like I just hate watching sports. I just think my attention span is
no
short.
Minnesota Vikings.
I don't even like football though. That's the thing. I mean,
football's boring though.
It's like fun to, you know, like party at football games. Yeah, I think. Like it's like a great party environment, but I'm just not a football fan.
No, that's fair. I think that's totally fair.
It's like traumatizing. My parents would fight all the time.
Really?
Like my dad was a Vikings fan, and my mom was a Packers fan, and they're like like enemies in the football season.
Yeah, that's tough.
Like, you guys are not right for each other on every level. And this is the most like visceral example, you know, like where it's just like anger.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you're gonna fight about the sports teams, like, what other shit are you fighting about? Yeah. Like, damn. Are they still together?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Unfortunately, not. Sorry. Sorry. No offense. Not to. Well, not. No, no offense is a wrong word for that. Mom and Dad, I trust you guys are doing what's best for yourselves.
Did they fight, like, when you were growing up?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you have young parents, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Super young parents. They. Yeah, because I don't know. They weren't even, like. They, like, started dating when they were, like, 15.
That's crazy. And then, like,
knocked each other up when they were 19.
I like that they knocked each other up. Like, your mom also knocked up your dad.
I'm like, I'm pretty sure it was, like, you know, equally as irresponsible, you know, yeah, on both sides. So, they have just been together for, like, forever. I could not imagine being with, like, somebody I was, like, into when I was 15.
No. Like, the people that mostly dudes, the dudes I was into when I was 15 are like one, like my first boyfriend now is like really into guns and cars.
That's my dad. That's my dad.
Oh my God. I dated your dad. Yeah. That's like crazy.
Oh man. Yeah. Like, cause like, but they do seem like they're doing better together now. Like, they're almost like figuring out how to make it work. Cause I, it was really stressful. I think, you know, when I was a kid, cause they, got pregnant, like, got, you know, had a kid when they were so young.
Were they religious?
No.
No, they just were like, yeah, let's just.
Just raw dogging everything. Just raw dogging each other, raw dogging life, raw dogging, like, the. Like, it's just. Yeah. No, no religion, like, no sense of, like, community, like, no family, like, in my hometown. So they were just, like, those two on their own, just trying to make it happen.
How do you think that, like, impacted you now, like, who you are? Because that's a pretty unique growing up story.
Yeah, I get. And I'm doing pretty unique stuff now. So it's like, I guess it just, you stay unique. I think, well, probably it's why I like started to like love sports so much and enjoy sports. Like, where I think I was like lucky that I had that because I was surrounded by a lot of normal families. So I kind of knew from a very young age that my parents were not like normal as far as like the standards of what families are, at least in like the Midwest. In Minnesota, we were pretty different. So I, like, when I was a kid, like, kind of was pretty, like, you know, like, I didn't have like empathy for my parents, you know, because like, I didn't understand, like, all I know is like I would be like mad at them all the time and like didn't feel like taken care of, like I was like neglected, you know, because they were so busy, like, and had so much going on. Which, like, since, like, I've grown up, like, I feel like I like my parents a lot more, where I'm like, you know, I still say mean things, I, you know, I've
been like, I mean, we all say mean things to our parents.
Yeah.
That's the point.
But I do, like, you know, I love my parents a lot, and I know that they had to go through a lot of struggles to keep it together, and to, like, they could have just, you know, they could have gotten an abortion. They could have, like, got rid of me. They could have done a lot of things that are, like, much worse than just being stressed out and raising a kid together and holding it down. Like, they didn't even, like, separate. They're still together. And my two little siblings are, like way younger with them. And the family's a lot more normal now.
So
they just needed time to figure it out. And it was too late, you know, for my childhood. But I'm glad that my little brother has a good show, you know. But I feel like it is probably why I invest a lot of time and energy into stand-up, because it's just always been like sports was like a coping mechanism with everything, because it was like a place to just put all my energy. And now stand-up is like, has a pretty similar role, where it's just like, I feel like I emotionally deal with everything that life is on stage, but like not in like a, like a, where it's like a, like a, I mean, it is like a need, but like I try not to, I don't care if it goes good or bad. Like, it's not about doing well. It's just like, I need a place to take energy and let it out. Whether it goes good or bad is how I try to look at it. Cause, yeah, I don't know. It was like a, not that bad of a childhood, but not good. So, you know, it just results in being a little mentally fucked up and having to like manage that.
Yeah. I'd say you're doing well, though. I mean, you just toured Europe.
Yeah, and it, like, went good. Like, what? Yes. Like, how did that happen? Okay,
cool. Do you tour in the States at all?
I've like done like a few like weekends, but I've never done like a full tour. In my head, it was like, oh, it's easier to tour in Europe first because like it's like
it does feel easier.
Yeah, for some in my head I'm like everything's like basketball, like where I'm like, well, you know, before you go to NBA, you go to Europe leagues. That's like how you go get ready to go to the. Because I was like, but I actually think it was more difficult material. Wise, like, and I kind of was like, oh, in like Europe, like people are a little more down with like storytelling, so it's like I can kind of lean into my storytelling stuff. But when I got here, I like pretty quickly realized, like, because I had like headlined in like Seattle and Minneapolis and Chicago before I left, and those sets went like really good.
That's awesome.
And then when I got here, like about 25 to 40% of my set from like those shows, just like the jokes were like. I was like, oh, these are way too American.
In what, like, do you have an example?
I have jokes about, like Mall of America.
Oh, yeah.
Which, like, is, like, obviously super American. And jokes about, like my dad and, like, his guns and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, those two actually kind of come together and... Like, the joke about, like, my dad and guns, which is, like, one of my favorite jokes, was, like, my closer in the U.S., like, just didn't work at all.
Oh,
like,
shit.
So I was just like, oh, no. I was so happy that I had a joke that was, like, a dependable closer, or if I wanted to, I could put it somewhere where it's, like, in the U.S., I've never had it not, like, crush. Like, it was, like, my first joke that was just, like, super solid and, like, very, like, unique. And it felt like it brought together so many things from my life. And I was like, this rules. I've got something good. And then haven't been able to use it once here. So
that sucks. Damn, I want to hear it. Yeah, it's weird. I feel like jokes here kind of work everywhere because the audiences are so, like, not diverse, like, racially, but, like, come from so many different countries that if you can get an audience liking jokes here, like, it'll work in America, but it'll also work in the UK. It'll also work, you know, anywhere. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, if you're trying out jokes in London or in America or wherever, where there's, like, a very specific, like, understood culture, it's, like, a lot harder to get it to work somewhere like here.
Seems like American comics who are like really really good in the U.S. like would struggle like when they come to Europe. But like it does seem like to be I guess it really does go both ways, because I feel like in the U.S. like we kind of like there's people who speak like really really quickly and use a lot of kind of niche references that are like really funny in America, but then just like don't translate at all here. Or it's like there's people in the audience who sometimes like don't even speak like fluent English and are just like, hi, I would love to go try out an English stand-up show, and then just stare at you the whole time. Like I'm like, there was somebody here who I was just like the whole show. I was just like, God, I think like she's been like dead eyeing me the whole time. And then like afterwards, she was like I don't speak English. And I was like, well, you know, I appreciate you coming and watching.
Yeah. You know, thank you for sitting through an hour in a different language. Oh my God, that's hard. It's hard. There's sometimes I've done audiences where like. I'll kind of realize halfway through, I'll be like, oh, this is a mostly non-English speaking audience. I have to go slower and I have to dumb down my shit. Whereas, like, I would say the majority of audiences here, at least 50% are native English speakers.
Yeah.
But sometimes you do a show and literally no one there is a native English speaker, which is fine. Like, that's, you know, what we're used to. That's our scene. But at the same time, it's like, it can be really challenging.
Yeah.
So. I think it makes us better comedians, though.
Super. Like, where it's, like, from the start to the end of this, where I feel like, I'm looking at all of my bits differently, where I have to, like, think about, like, what is at its core funny? And then, like, if it's, like, I've just had to change setups for stuff, where it's, like, I just got to relate it to things that everybody understands instead of stuff that's, like, pretty niche to even, like, the Midwest. You know, like, sometimes... Like being in Seattle, there was even jokes where I was like, oh, man, like, this is talking about Wisconsin Dells is like not like just people get it more so in the US, but like it's yeah. But most jokes, if they're working where you are, it's because it's funny. But if you can just figure out like, okay, what's like deeply funny about this, like on a like internationally relatable level, and then how do I get it there? How do I get people to understand it? Like the funny of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Good challenge.
It is a good challenge. On that note, like, what is your writing process typically?
I keep like a notes app for each month. Oh. Like where it's like each month I'll start a new one, and you know, just
new app today, new note today. Yeah. I can't talk.
Exciting.
Very exciting.
I might put like demisexuals. I'm like super attracted to dumbasses.
I love it.
I might
so
put
funny.
That in the notes app. That's kind of funny.
I love it.
I might be dumb. Dumb as hell gets me gone. The thing is, I'm not even lying. I do love dumb people, but like dumb smart like me. Maybe I am demi. Whatever. notes app for like if I think something's funny, I'll like put it in the note, and then. Like when I've like I'm at open mics, like stuff where like it's like okay to just like run new ideas, it's fine to bomb, then like I just run my new ideas and try to.
That's tonight, by the way, so
demisexual,
try it out. Yes.
Trying it.
Yes.
Yeah, and if there's something there, then I'll keep like doing it. I mean it's been interesting because this has been my first like tour where I've been doing an hour, like on some weeks, like four different nights a week. Like, I mean, it was crazy, like, coming this last, like I had two shows in Istanbul on Friday, like, an 8 p.m. and a 10 p.m.
Cool.
And then flew to, you know, Barcelona Saturday morning, and then had my solo show at 6:30, and then did the spotlight at 8. So it was just, like, I was did an hour twice in Istanbul on Friday, and then did an hour, and then did, like, 30, 40 minutes right afterwards in Barcelona. It was like so many times in a row that it's like,
yeah.
But like, I find like the repetition to just be super helpful, because it's like now with like long sets, the way I write is like I have three parts that are like, you know, the beginning is like just relate to the audience and be silly, like use jokes that you think will relate with whoever is there, like kind of read the room, and then like Germany story, and then like dumb versus idiot closer is kind of how I've been working on it. And then so it's just
I like that. Yeah. I was actually saying to Hannah, I caught some of your spotlight performance, and I was like, when you started going into the Germany story, I would say I really like how natural it was that she was just like doing jokes and then went into her sort of story. And I felt like it was a really good, like, natural transition.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's good. It's hard to do that, to be like, I'm funny, I do jokes, also I'm a human.
Like, yeah. Because I hate when it, like, I don't want to be like my worst show on the tour was Dusseldorf, Germany.
Oh,
which,
interesting.
You know, surprise, surprise.
Germans? Not fine. Not laughing?
Every other Germany show was like fun, but like that one was just like literally somebody after the show said to me, like, he was like, you know, like, it's interesting. Like, you're doing something, I wouldn't even call it stand up. And he meant that as a compliment. He was like,
yeah.
But I was just like, oh my god, like that is
no,
never what I want to hear. Because I think there's like been, if I'm not like sharp, like with the jokes, it's like, and you're doing storytelling stuff, it can be kind of like not stand up, you know. Yeah. Where he was right, like that show sucked. It was I'm sorry to anybody who bought tickets to that one. It was worst one. But like I think something that I really respect about European comedians is I feel like a European, like, solo shows, like, they're always, like, there's, like, this, like, through line that lasts from the start to finish, like, or, like my favorite, like, some of my, like, my favorite hours I've seen is, like, I really like Daniel Sloss, like, the way that he does, like, where it's, like, very, like, jokes, but he's getting to, like, a point, and then when he, like, tells you the point, you realize, like, oh, the whole show has been about that point, like, and it's all been like preparing you to like understand like a concept. And don't remember start why I'm talking about this.
No, I love it. I was actually gonna ask like who your like biggest influences are, what, or also just like what comedians you love right now, whether like famous or local. Or
I love Taylor Tomlinson a lot.
She's amazing.
Like she's like, you know, she's like that bitch right now, like, you know, doing it. But I feel like
she's so smart though.
So smart, and has phrased things in a way that has made me understand myself better. Mm-hmm. You know? And I think comics who do that, who like can talk about something really complex and put it in, like she had a joke about like kind of like realizing that she's bipolar and like in taking like medication when you're when you have like mental illness, it's like yay. I think the metaphor was she was like talking about how like it's like just choosing to swim in a pool when you can't swim with like no floaties, which is like fine for you, but like, yeah. No, you keep like pulling people in to help and like drowning them with you. And it was like such a funny joke that like literally made me be like, all right, I gotta take better care of myself, you know.
Yeah. like
seeing a joke that's so good that makes you like wanna not be like a burden on others anymore, it's like brilliant.
so good. I think I remember that joke and I was like, fuck, that's exactly like when I stopped taking medicine, like I just take Lexapro, it's like chill medicine, you know, but it like it's like the first one that they start you on, they're like, let's just see how that one goes, and I was like, yeah, this is better, you know. I don't think it's perfect, but it was better. And I when I stopped taking it, just because I forget, I have not taken it today, like, okay. I'll be like, yeah, I've just been like crying all week, I feel like shit, and I'm like complaining to all my friends, and then they'll be like, are you taking your medicine? And I'm like, oh right,
whoops. Yeah, oops. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's a great joke. That's good. So good. Anyone else that you've been like watching, reading, listening to?
I love Dave Attell.
Yeah,
he's like one of my favorite comedians of all time. Old school guy. Yeah, Daniel Slaw is big.
Yeah,
really like him. Who else has it been?
We're like local, like people in your scene. Like, just give him little shout outs, you know.
Okay. Honestly, like, so it is interesting, like I, you didn't have like a bunch of Instagram followers and TikTok followers now, like, which like kind of just came from like posting reels on the internet, you know, and then it just like, but it's like, it's so weird having that happen when I was like in Minneapolis and like in a local scene where it's just like there's people in my scene who are so funny and just don't know how to edit, you know, so it's like that's the only barrier between like them like reaching people. And like I would love to maybe start putting people on my own. I wonder if I could do that and that would be normal. I don't know.
Maybe
Ebenezer Murdasa is one of my best friends in Minneapolis and so funny. So yeah, look him up. He does post reels. They're just like edited bad so they don't go viral, you know. It's like, you just edit them better, dude. It's really funny. It just needs to look better.
I'm like, so shit at editing. I'm learning, but it's so hard. I'm like, I just don't like it. I'm like, I just want to perform, but it opens up doors.
It does. Like, it's like, but like the feeding, like the beast of it is just like, ugh. But I think, you know, if you have something funny, just post it and then whatever. I don't think I don't think it matters
that. No, not that. I mean, you're also like, you're Gen Z, which means that you're just like better at that stuff.
Yeah. I like grew up on Instagram. Like, I got it when I was in eighth grade. So it's just kind of like a natural extension of, well, I like deleted my account and then I re-downloaded it when I started doing stand-up because everybody is communicated on there. And then here we are. Comrade Tripp from Minneapolis, he's like blown up. Like, he's doing, have you ever seen like his shit? He's like he's like a stand-up poet.
I love that. There's a guy in New York like that. Oh my god, it's been so long since I've been there. Andrew something. Oh my god, we used to do shows together all the time. And he does this like, he's not like musical, but he'll like come up with like a beat and then just like subvert it, and it's like the weirdest shit. He's blowing up a bit too. It's like, I love that there's like a stand-up poet. Love that.
He's
shit,
like sad boy, like, or it's just, oh, his shit's so good. Yeah, he's doing fine, you know. A lot of people are like tuning in, but like, yeah, look him up. But like, I would say like the Minneapolis stand-up scene is so crazy good, I think.
That's
like,
cool.
Because I mean, I've been like yeah, like able to, you know, I travel so much since I've started doing stand up. Like, I've, you know, like Europe, and I've done like a few week stints in New York, Chicago, and Austin. And like, I always like still think, I'm like, the people in Minneapolis are like as good, if not better. It could be like, yeah, show up on any of these lineups. Like, because we have like 5 comedy clubs within the city.
Oh, and shit, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's like competitive too. Like, there's a ton of people doing stand up, and
cool.
People are good.
I'm coming.
Do it, dude. I swear, like, it's a good place to, if you're like a traveling comic, come do spots, because the audiences are really good. And every day of the week, there's, because you guys have like a similar vibe here, where it's like open mics, audiences show, like it's a full audience. It's not like
New York, where it's just like comedians sitting in a room looking over their own notes and then leaving.
Yeah, like Minneapolis is a similar thing, where it's like on Monday, cool, there's like a theater open mic where it's like full room of like, anyway, it's dope. It's like a, it's like the concept of where it's like, it's like, you know, queer people of color, and like women. Where, yeah. So it's like just no straight white men. Just like, sometimes I'm like, yeah, it's an inclusive mic that is the only actual exclusive one. But it is a really fun show, because it, you know, draws an audience that's like looking for those like kinds of people, and it's, you know, safe space, so whatever. Pretty solid. But like, yeah, there's every night of the, and then the clubs all have mics every other night of the week, so it's like a, it's a good place to get good.
That's cool. That's cool. We're winding down to our time. I just have one final question that I like to ask everyone, which is like, what would your advice be to new comedians?
Like, figure out like what makes you different from everybody else, and then talk about that. Like, what, like, whether it's like, not even like, it doesn't have to be like maybe it's like where you're from, or just like how you look at the world, or like what you find, I guess it's like maybe not like what makes you different, but like what you really, really do find funny, like in like a very like, try to be, is like, don't try to be anybody else, like just keep doing what is you and feels very you until that works. Because then that, you know, stand out, you know, and nobody can like be you. There's no,
I love that. It's like, be authentic.
Yeah.
Oh my god, so influencer. No, I'm kidding. No, you said it in a better way. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make fun, but it's true. It's like, if you're yourself and genuinely yourself, you're gonna have a unique perspective no matter what.
Because people get worried about like copying jokes and stuff, and it's like, if it came from your brain, and you know, it's like, it's from your life, then it's like, that's like, nobody's ever gonna be able to come up with the same thing.
Exactly.
And treat it like a sport. Yeah. It's okay to be bad. You know, getting bad is how you get better. Like, that's my advice.
I like that. I like that, to treat it like. Have you ever, real quick, have you ever done roast battles?
Yeah.
Those are sports.
I love roast battles.
They're so fun.
Well, I like to win. Oh, it feels really bad to lose.
It feels so bad to lose. I lost the title match recently. So they put me on the title match because they were like, you have the best win rate, so you have to like go for the belt. And I was like, I really don't want to, like, I just like, that's not like, because I get really competitive, and I just put so much pressure on myself that I just totally blanked, and I like had my like jokes written on a little piece of paper, and I was like, I just kept pulling it out and like flipping it around, and I was just like, I totally choked, and it was so embarrassing. Is there a roast scene in Minneapolis?
I like started like a roast battle tournament in Minneapolis. That's so cool. Like pretty fun, but it was so much to manage that I was just like, I only did it, I mean, I did it like 6 times, and it was like pretty fun, pretty good. But this is R.I.P. Dave Velk. He used to run like a roast battle. He's not with us anymore.
Oh, shit.
Damn, that's sad note to end on, but like, yeah, like somebody has to start it. Somebody from Minneapolis, listen to this. Start the roasts. Do it.
Let's get them to do it. Well, and on a happier note, what are you looking forward to?
Very excited to go to Lisbon this next week. Excited to actually look around Barcelona, because like I really had to catch up on sleep these last 2 days, because like because Istanbul was a fucking time. It was really fun, really nice. Really fun. But I wore myself to like the end of my what's the saying? And to the end of your rope.
Yeah, and end of my rope. Yeah.
Interesting saying, but like so I had to sleep. I stayed up like after shows and stuff Saturday and last night, but tomorrow and Wednesday I'm gonna go to the beach and shit and just
nice. That's relax. Gonna be great. It's gonna be really great. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Emma.
Yeah, thanks this was for really having fun. Me.
You were amazing.
Cool. Thanks.
Best guest ever. Woo. I'm kidding to the other guest.
Give me the title.
win. All right. Yeah. Thank you so much and see you soon.